Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Viryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, page 37. Okay, then. Sakale loke bhagavat sambandha buddhi. Chanting. No. Accepting all living entities as related to the Lord. So one sees that everyone's related to the Lord in that way, then there'll be a difference in how you'll deal and approach, right? Because everybody's going to have some problem. So then it's a matter of how do you deal with that? Because the problem trying to deal with it, there's always the question of justice, you know, morality, all kinds of different things come up. So then the problem is if one sees that all living entities are related to Krishna, then one looks at it, okay, so then as a basic principle they're okay, but due to conditioning then they have some particular problems. So then it becomes much easier to accommodate and deal with, you know, any difficulties that are there. Or also that, you know, that to make the bridge on how to, you know, contact or interact based on Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? So it makes it easier to approach it for Krishna consciousness. It makes it easier to deal if there's been any difficulties, or even if not, because otherwise any living entity shouldn't just be ignored like that. So there's no such thing as just somebody ordinary. You know what I'm saying? On the material platform, yes. You know, but on the spiritual platform, then no one's ordinary. So there's no problem there. But you can, because someone is looking at it from the material point of view, you can refer to the ordinariness just to kind of break their attachment to the material. You know what I'm saying? But on the spiritual platform, then there's nothing and no one is ordinary. So it's not a...
Yes. You define ordinary?
Ordinary.
It has to do with value.
Ordinary just means it's just so common that it's not even really noticed. It doesn't have any value.
Because recently we spoke on how the materialists, they see themselves as being very unique.
Yeah, well, let's give an example. You're walking down the street in Amsterdam and you see a shop that sells marijuana. Mm-hmm. It's ordinary. Mm. It's nothing special. Mm. Right, but the tourists are jumping up and down and freaking out. Hey, that's so good. The local guys is kind of like, you know, what's the big deal? You know, manhole covers on the street—they're ordinary. You know what I'm saying? You know, like that. You know what I'm saying? They get no reaction. There's nothing special. It's just there's no bad feeling. It's no good. It's just normal, right? Air is normal, right? You know. Does that make sense? Yeah. Is that? So what we're saying is that in the spiritual platform, there's no one or nothing that's ordinary, because it's all connected to Krishna, like that. So seeing in that way, then one's always inspired, because there's always something going on, right? Because Krishna's ever fresh, so there's always something new to appreciate and understand if you connect it to Krishna. As well as shravanam, hearing, kirtanam, chanting, smarana, remembering his words and activities, seva, service, ija, worship, Nati, offering obeisances. Dasya, accepting the service. Sakyam, to consider as a friend. And Atmani Vedana, surrendering one's whole self. Yeah, so this has to be Narad Muni's list, because he ends it with the nine processes of devotion. According to the differentiations of these 30 characteristics, the four varnas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, and the four ashrams, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas, are born. Right, so the difference of the qualities, how much they have, what qualities they have, how much they have, what are the prominences, that will then create the different varnas and ashrams. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11.18.42, it is said, the main religious duties of a sannyasi are equanimity and nonviolence. Whereas, for the vanaprastha, austerity and philosophical understanding of the difference between the body and soul are prominent. The main duties of a householder are to give shelter to all living entities and perform sacrifice. And the brahmachari is mainly engaged in serving the spiritual master. So here, equanimity and nonviolence. Equanimity because one's seeing one all related to the Lord. Right? That's the sannyasi should be seeing like that. And nonviolence means that they're always, one is that they're not giving, yeah, it means this whole point, they're not subjecting any living entity to threefold miseries. Right? So they'll be very careful to not bother anybody. Say something that they don't like. You know, ants you don't step on. The sannyasi has to look 12 feet ahead of where he's walking so he can see what's there and not step on anybody. Right? So it said no living entity should have any fear of the sannyasi. Right? Because otherwise if there's fear, then they have to be able to reciprocate that. And you don't want to have to stick around for that. Right? Right? And that can, so if you see all as related to the Lord, then it's very easy to be nonviolent, right? But the most importance of the nonviolence is preaching, because that's the real, you know, welfare work. Like that. Yes?
It's written here that the Vyasta should give shelter, and sannyasi should be nonviolent.
Yes.
Like, if you give shelter, means you protect.
Yeah, well, you protect, but here the nonviolence is, because up here it says ahimsa, nonviolence, not subjecting any living entity to the threefold miseries. So that would mean physically, emotionally, intellectually, and spiritually. Right? Spiritually means by giving someone Krishna consciousness, then they are able to go beyond the mode. So they're not subjected to that. So that's the real nonviolence, is to understand the nature of the soul, the nature of God, the relationship. That's the real nonviolence. But it also means to not bother anybody. But the sannyasi is not giving shelter because he doesn't have any place. Right? If you're walking down the road, have no place, you just don't bother anybody. But the grihastha has a place, so he gives shelter. You know, like it said, that if a snake's living in the house of the grihastha, he feeds it. Because it's taken shelter there. Right? You know, it means you don't let it bite you. You just feed it.
But in nowadays, the mainly spiritual masters and sannyasis, they do give shelter.
Though that's spiritual, because that's as a spiritual master. That's another thing. But here, shelter is meaning that the grihastha has. Give shelter to all of you and perform sacrifice. The grihastha has facilities. See, the other three don't have facilities.
It means it's not only material.
Not necessarily, but what I'm saying is the grihastha has facilities, so you give shelter through those facilities. Does that make sense? Like that. While you perform sacrifice with facilities. Right? You can't perform these ritualistic ceremonies without facilities. Right? So that's why the other three don't really do, or what they do is very, very simple. The brahmachari yajna is a very simple like yajna. You know, it says you're living there in the ashram, so there's cows. So there's going to be some cow dung, so you can put some cow dung patties together and make a fire, right? So, but there's nothing more necessary than that. You know, there's some ghee, like that. The Vanaprastha does the same thing. Very simple like that. Sannyasi generally doesn't involve himself because he doesn't have a place, because you need the facility and a regular place for doing this sacrifice. Does that make sense? So it's not the prominent aspect. But there is shelter. You have facility. So it basically means that you are somehow or another benefiting others with that facility you have. You know, and emotionally taking care. Then there is the educating. So it depends upon the varna. But this is generic. So all householders would. But now a Brahmin would take care in one way, Kshatriya in another. But that's the occupation. Right? So this is defining the ashram, okay?
Yeah, it's been there for...
Okay.
I was just wondering, because the main engagement for the brahmacharya is to serve the spiritual master.
Mm.
So does that leave the other three more independent to use their Krishna consciousness?
Yes, because it means the brahmacharya is directly under the direction of the spiritual master. He may be more mature and traveling that, but he's doing that under the authority of the instruction. So that's prominent. It's not that the grihastha and the others aren't working under the authority of the instruction of the spiritual master, but they will be applying it according to the situation. Well, the brahmacharya is generally given a situation, and then he functions within that. Does that make sense? Yeah, so they don't feel independent. Ultimately, no one feels independent, but there is that element of... Does that make sense? It's the freedom that you make your own program, your own plan. Well, the brahmachari doesn't, unless he's told to, okay, do this and you work it out. But still, that's the grihastha. You don't tell him, you know, go be a grihastha and work it all out. That's not something that you say, you know, like that. But you know, you tell the brahmachari, okay, we want you to, you know, do preaching in this area, and so then you know, you're intelligent, you do the needful, like that. Does that make sense? So it's just a slight difference. It's just in the mood, like that. So vanaprastha then is austerity and philosophical understanding of the difference between the body and the soul. So they're studying and emphasizing that aspect because they're trying to remove themselves from a lifetime of being as a grihastha and endeavoring in that way. So therefore then there. And then austerity, because the grihastha has so much facility. So austerity means engaging everything in the Lord's service, but here is that you're keeping very little. So then the austerity is being able to live without facility. Right? Because the aspect of austerity, meaning that you're always engaging everything in the Lord's service, that remains. Right? So how favorable it is, that much you use less facility. Right? So in other words, from one vanaprastha to the next, the difference in facility may be great. But the point is the facility as a vanaprastha will be less than it was for that same individual as a grihastha. Does that make sense? Even though his facility as a vanaprastha may be greater than another person had as a grihastha. But the point is being made in reference to the individual. It's their conditioning you have to deal with, right? So for them, you know, it's austere. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, living in a house, you know, with all facilities but no servants. You know, that may be a real austerity for the person who had servants. You got to do it yourself. Yeah, but I'm just saying, this is the point. So in their perspective, it will be an austere. So then slowly they start from there. So it's not the external, oh, they have so much, how can that be? No, it's where they started from, like that. If they can do more, then that's better, like that.
All the three others, except for Vanaprastha, they have some ritual of accepting this, like sannyasi, for your householders, they accept this position. What about Vanaprastha? They decide on themselves? You know, it's kind of when you get sannyas initiation, you see them.
I mean, it's just a matter of what the, you know, what is it? What is it? Yeah, the two piles of cards.
Deal?
No, I'm saying there's the one when you hit on it and you pick up the card and it just says something like that. So the everyone goes through all the games. You're actually referring to Monopoly. No, because it's just an extension of the Vanaprastha. Grihastha, the Vanaprastha is an extension of that. So the sannyasa is actually, so it's a rite of passage, but it's because there's so much variety within it. The sannyasa is very obvious, is that they're not with their wife, you know, like that. So it's just clear, and then they don't interact and deal on those levels like that. The brahmachari also doesn't, because now he's taken up the residence with the spiritual master. But for the grihastha, then it's there's so much variety that can be there. They could go to the forest with their wife or without. They could continue doing their yajna or not. You know, all the different ways that they could live in a house or not. There are so many different austerities that they could do. So it's a general category. So it's not as such. So they are on the edge of the. I mean, so either on the outer edge of the village or on the outer edge of the forest. So the idea is that they're in out of the way, but at the same time close enough to be accessible to the grihasthas. You know what I'm saying? So as such, it's just there's not because the whole point of the ashram is to just kind of like fade away. You know what I'm saying? You know, so you don't want to make a whole big show out of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And if you take it from our society, because it's, you know, seeing people who are suffering.
Most think that Vanaprastha means that you've gone back to like the brahmachari, like that. But it doesn't necessarily have to mean. It just means any grihastha who is not dynamically trying to improve the quality of the grihastha ashram. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, there's, you know, they're not trying to increase the facilities, the money, the prestige, and not children, any of these things. So therefore, it's just kind of like fading out. So it's like the grihastha life is there, it's dynamically working towards it, and then you're kind of like not working towards it. You know, so just kind of like, does that make sense? So, you know, exactly what would be the means, because the needs of the grihastha are so varied, then also the situation that one would be in at the point of vanaprastha would be varied. Right? But brahmachari and sannyas, that's very specific. Grihastha is very specific. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, the brahmachari is not going to work, you know, in under the spiritual master. So that's a specific vow. All right, so until he graduates, then it'll change. Grihastha now is going to live with his wife and cooperate there together, so whatever needs to be done there, right? Sannyasa is that you're not going to get involved in all this, so that's cut off. But vanaprastha is just kind of like the transition out of grihastha life. Does that make sense? So there's not a need, because for... What, you know, then how would you set the standard? How much, you know, because then it'd be a whole fight, because everything works so externally. It's like, how much money could they have? How much could they do? What facility they can have? So you have one vanaprastha couple, they're traveling all over the world, preaching, doing all kinds of things. But others say, well, you know, where do you get the money from? Where's all this? You know, but, you know, the guy had money and he put it away. He was smart. You know, he wasn't stupid like them. And so then, you know, and so now he has money to travel and preach and do all these things and go with his wife. And someone else would say, well, this is not, you have more facilities than, you know, we. You know. That's why it's left more open. But if you know what it is, then people can take advantage of it. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like men, they're sannyas, women, they're reclusion. Like that. Because it's just a matter of you just kind of fade into the background. Because the point is the woman is prominent when all the facility is there, the emotions, the senses, all these things are engaged, and she's prominent. But as soon as all those are reduced, then what's there? There's no variety, there's no other things. So it's, does that make sense? So it just kind of like fades into the background. And you find some little place that, you know, you have, you know, how you say, one is comfortable, one has one's, you know, associates that one knows, and then one's inspired by their also sadhana and other things like that. And one just focuses on that. And so it's out of the way. So then dealing with that simplicity of the thing, and also, you know, balancing the feminine nature with that, all that, then it can go on and it's not a big deal, right? But then sannyas is a prominent thing. It means, you know, this expected basic, you know, kind of behavior, dress, or other things like that. You know what I'm saying? You have to be available. You know what I'm saying? For the woman, she doesn't have to be. She doesn't have to see anybody. She's not obliged to. She's not obliged to come out and give a lecture or talk to anybody if she doesn't want to. You know what I'm saying? So it's just the nature for the individual, what would be there. So therefore, there's no ceremony. Does that make sense? You know, or she may stay in the house. The husband, you know, goes off like that. But it's just because he goes off doesn't mean he can't come and visit, or they don't have interaction. It's just a matter of whether he's going to be vanaprast with the wife, means, you know, constantly, or, you know, occasionally, you know, or not at all. So there's so much variety. How would you establish? Because then they'd want to say, well, he's this kind of vanaprast, that kind. So the Shastra gives the names, but there's no ritual. So sometimes we be careful that there's not an order. You know what I'm saying? All it is you're trying to pull yourself more and more out of that dependence upon material facilities. Like that. That's the only consistent element. But what techniques are used for that, there's so much variety. It probably has the most variety. I mean, Grihastha, of course, has the most, but other than that, has the most variety. Is that okay?
So they kind of reflect each other. The grahastha is building the variety, and the vanaprastha is getting rid of the variety.
Reducing. Yeah, that's why I said that before. I said that the sannyas is indifference. Mm. You know, because here equanimity is just there's no good or bad. You know, but for grahastha this is good, and for the vanaprastha this is not good. You know what I'm saying? So facility is good. Facility is you're trying to reduce. So the sannyasi doesn't matter. He has facility. He has no facility. That was the point. The Python Sadhu. He's saying, how come you're so fat? He says, sometimes I'm fat, sometimes I'm thin. You know, people feed me, I'm fat. They don't feed me, I'm thin. It doesn't matter. You know, to someone else, then it would be being fat is good, or being fat is not good. You know, depending upon, you know, how fat or how thin. You know, like that. Yes.
Is sannyas exclusively for male body?
Didn't we just explain that?
Can I ask a question? Maybe sometimes you see these women, they put on white, they're strong natured women, and they go out on the street. So I've also seen them, they're disappointed that nobody's looking after them. Is that because they're going against scripture?
No one's looking after them because they're supposed to be recluses, not out there, you know.
So I say, that's their nature, though, is it?
It's not their nature, otherwise why are they complaining?
Okay.
So their complaining is the nature. Yeah. Not going out there and getting that, no.
But they feel they need to go out and preach, right?
So, but you work it out. But the point is women work well with those they know. So the men can work with those they know or not know. You know, that's the point. So the thing is when they put themselves out there with people they don't know and may not care, that's where they're not protecting themselves. Because the point is women have to be protected, but protection of women starts with the women protecting themselves. So they say, no one's protecting me because you're not protecting yourself. You know what I'm saying? It's like this. You can't complain that no one's helping you take a bath when you're not in the shower. You know what I'm saying? You know, you're sitting out in the living room. No one's helping you like that. So the point is they're not protecting themselves. Therefore, then no one else can either. Like that. So that's the point, is that they can travel places, but the normal thing is they have a base, they go out to a program, go back. Go out to a program, come back. This idea where you just go out and stay out and just keep moving, that's only for men. Men can do that. You know, it means read in history. What is it? You know, the man, something happens, gets frustrated, goes out, gets on a ship, travels around the world for a few years. You ever hear of women doing that? There are none in history. Why? Because it's just not part of the mentality. So for them to take it that equality means that, you know, everybody's got to eat 10 chapatis, that's where they go wrong. Equality means you act according to your nature. So therefore, they have to have a base that's secure, people they know, people that have, that care. And then from there, you go out how much you can. You can go out a few days, a few weeks, a few months, and then you come back. But if they're saying nobody's taking care, that's because they're not taking care. So that's the thing. They don't know. The problem is these women don't know what women are. It's not that going out and preaching is the problem. It's the whole mentality and the arrangement they're making for it. Right? And and that no one's taking care shows that they're dependent. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So all these subtleties, that's why I say it doesn't matter how tough the lady is, she still will act exactly 100% as a lady. Like that. You know, it's just the way it is. But you have to know what a lady is to be able to identify it. You know, that's all.
Maharaj Prabhupada said about equality, you know, someone's wife complained about equality, and he said, yes, if you want equality, and sometimes you make arrangement that sometimes you get pregnant, and then sometimes your husband...
He can get pregnant. Yeah, I mean, you share the duties. I mean, you know, why? You know, like that. You know, it's also, you know, sometimes he takes out the garments, sometimes she takes out the garments. You know, like that. So the whole point is the equality, where is the equality? I mean, it's just as a side point, we look at it, where is the complaints about equality, right? You know, the men are in the kitchen, you know, like that. If you go into most of the, you know, temple kitchens and all that, the pots are being washed by some man and cleaned by that, bathrooms are being cleaned by that. So they're really worried that why can't they do that, you know? The guy that goes out takes that, you know, that jalopy that they call the temple car and goes out and does the marketing or, you know, has to drop everybody off here and there, right? You know, the ladies are really fighting for that one, right? Isn't it? You know what I'm saying? So you go through anything that there's tons of things that the men do, the women couldn't care less that the men do. But if we're talking equality, why not do all of those? No, it's only the ones that put you in a position of prominence that will be respect or be facility and interaction. That's the ones the women want. You know, to be the manager, you know, to be the one who gives the classes or to be a guru. Did I miss anything?
Head pujari.
That was always there. But that you don't have to fight over. You understand? So, but the point is the nature doesn't fit those so much. You know, to some degree you can do it. It means that women temple presidents, generally it's a nice temple, and they can do nice. You know, it's like a house. You know, like that. So as long as those in the house like that, and as long as it keeps that mood, it works. But if it expanded, started to expand very quickly, it would be very difficult. Like that. You know what I'm saying? Being a guru is great as long as everybody likes you, but how many gurus can, if you check, most all gurus can say they have a lot of disciples that have left and even disciples that criticize them. I don't think any woman can handle that. You know what I'm saying? Give the class? Great. But the point is then, you know, give the class, then who would sit at the front? The women or the men? Right? Technically, in the traditional thing, the women would sit at the front, the men would sit at the back. Then the woman gives the class. Otherwise, why she has to sit there right in front of a bunch of brahmacharis? You know, there's all kinds of little things like this. So one has to know the nature, otherwise how do you know what's equal? If you don't know the nature, you don't know what's equal. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like when the Pandavas, when they were in exile, then when they would go out begging. So they would divide the food equally. Half would go to Bhima, and half would go for all the other six of them. That was equal. And even then, for Bhima, it was really austere. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Right? So does that answer your question? Yeah, it's just different natures. So there is a way of going about it, but there's the feminine way of going about it. It's called the recluse. Like that. It's like this. The sannyasi goes out to people who don't necessarily want to hear what he has to say. But for the recluse, she situates herself in a position that if it becomes known she's got something to say, those who want to hear it come to see her. There's a difference. You know what I'm saying? The man gives, the point is, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, you know, you give a lecture, nobody comes, you lecture to the four walls. You know, that the woman won't, why would she do that? You know, because there's no people, there's no interaction. So the point is, you know, people wouldn't appreciate what you had to say, they'd argue with you, they'd say what you're saying is wrong or it's nonsense or you're, she wouldn't tolerate that. You know what I'm saying? As a wife, the slightest change in tone in the husband's voice or the use of a wrong word, though it is a synonym, and technically according to dictionary it's not wrong, and then how many days it can go that she won't talk to him or she will discipline him, right? So you can imagine somebody who's willing to stand up and, you know, use more than one word and one tone and just say that what you're saying is nonsense and this is bogus and I don't agree. So you understand? So therefore, for the woman, she doesn't subject herself to those things that would go against her nature. Does that make sense? So she's in a situation where people will appreciate it. She says, you know what I'm saying? Because the point is if you have something to say, people will want to hear it. So if the women are complaining no one takes care, that means no one wants to take care. Why wouldn't they want to take care? You know what I'm saying? Why wouldn't people want to take care of a lady? Yeah, because she's not taking care of herself, but because the nature is such that you don't feel inclined. Does that make sense? Yeah, also maybe they take care not to the degree she wants. So that's the point, is that then she's supposed to be a grihastha. Like that. The point is recluse means whatever Krishna arranges, that's all you get.
You know. It's like I see too, these older mothers and they have a group of brahmacharis that they train, and they never could
hear about it. Because they know how trippy women are, so they don't want to train them, they want to train brahmacharis. But the point is they actually won't know how to train the brahmacharis. So all it is that they'll consider it successful that they listen to them and they interact nicely with them, so they're good brahmacharis. Right? And that would be but what they can do after that, I'm not sure. I have never heard of this group of brahmacharis being known as dynamic preachers and leaders and all that. So it's not a problem if brahmacharis are around and when they're speaking, they go and hear and stuff like that. They render some service. That's not the problem. But the whole point is that we're training brahmacharis. It won't happen. The women can't make men. Men make men, men make women. But the point for inspiration of that, women inspire the men to be men. But they can't make them into men. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So that's the whole point, is that they get these ideas that come up, but they're whimsical. They sound great. They come out of some, you know, they're from something they've read or heard from some time when they were in school, that they were exposed to some of this modern ideas of equality, equity, fraternity, liberty, you know, these, like that. That's what they're working with. But the point is it's nice, but, you know, there was, you could say, an incredible amount of violence to make everything equal for everybody. You know, it wasn't like equal that everybody could get their head cut off. Not only they selected only certain people. It wasn't very equitable. You know.
Just on that point, what was your view of
I'd say want they can. The problem is the Gaudiyas generally don't. Others do, but the Gaudiyas generally are not so. See, there's Vaishnavas in general. Then you have your peculiarities of the group or particularities of the group. So Gaudiyas are the ones, they don't so much get into full dandavats. They can do it, but why are they doing it? Generally speaking, they're doing it because the men do it. You know, the point is this, the basic point is this, Bhumi Devi doesn't appreciate that the women's breasts touch the ground. So then if it's a matter of, no, we have the right to do it, but what about her? She's also a woman, you know, so she's got to put up with it, you know, because she doesn't like it, because generally speaking, that would only happen when there is a very strong emotional reaction, you know, some lamentation, this, that, you know, rolling around on the ground, that kind of thing. So it's generally, from what I've understood, is that's the...
I just saw videos with Prabhupada and the Manikis were all doing
it. That they were doing, but then at some point they all figured out stuff. So that's my point. It's no big deal. If they do it, what's the complaint? But to do it because it's a right, that's not, you know, what's rights? We're in the material world. We're fallen. We're disgusting. So, you know, what's our position to jump up and down about rights? You know, so it's... That's the point. If it's by rights, anything by rights, then is a problem, because then what's the obligation? Because the point is the man can only offer a full dandabats if there's facility for it. But if the woman's going to offer it, then everybody else has got to stay out of her way, because she's offering full dandabats. You understand? So there's a difference, and that has to be appreciated. So that's why there's a mentality. So if that sense of full surrender is there, that it would cause, you know, one to offer a full dandabat, nice, but that full dandabat means the body, the mind, the words, all are engaged. You know what I'm saying? It's not that, you know, I'm offering this because it's, you know what I'm saying? Point is you have all these videos, but you also have a whole lot of other videos that isn't. You know what I'm saying? So earlier years they did, yeah, but the earlier years also is that, you know, the dealing. So on that, yeah, it was the mood was different. The men and women respected each other's position, stayed out of the way, but they had no problem. Let's say also from that time, I think it was Rohini Kumar was telling me this, that they were on Hari Nam, I think it was in New York, and, you know, it must have been like 68, 69. So, you know, it's during all that time of student unrest. And then at some point while they were doing Hari Nam, you know, one of these student riots break out. So the police show up with their, you know, tear gas and everything like that. So devotees try to stay out of the way, but, you know, depending on how the wind moves and that. So the tear gas, the devotees then start to move, but the tear gas, you know, caught one of the girls, she fainted. So when the brahmacharis just picked her up and put her on the shoulder, and they all went back to the bus and put her on the bus, and that's all. You just go back and no one says anything. Right? If that happened today, you can imagine how many weeks or months that would be on internet. And discussions, is this right? Is this right? And that, and so many things like, you know. Therefore, you know, they go together. You know? I will respect your observation. Okay. Is that, are we okay on this, or? Yeah. The life occupations of the four varnas are stated as follows. Study, teaching, worship, teaching. Oh, no. Study, teaching, worship, giving charity, accepting charity. These six are the brahmanas' occupations. Out of these, they should maintain their life by teaching worship, and accepting worship, because that would mean they would be accepting charity. The Kshatriya's occupations are protecting the Praja by punishing miscreants and maintaining the life by taxation. Right? So now is taxation they want to take, but they don't punish the miscreants. You don't establish the standards. Right? Farming, protecting cows, and business are the Vaishya's occupations. Only serving Brahmins is the livelihood of the Shudra. The traditional occupation of those who are lower than Shudras are their means of livelihood. Right, so for Shudras, they should serve Brahmins. That's considered proper situation for a Shudra. You know, as we were discussing this morning, if things are emergency or it's not, you want natural occupation and its natural form is not there, then you pick whatever's the next down. So therefore, the Shudra, if he can't do that, then he serves a Kshatriya. If he can't do that, then he serves a Vaishya. Right? If he can't do that, then he takes up skilled trades. They're saying, because skilled trade, you can function on your own and then sell what you do, but what you make should be valuable to the other varnas. Like that. The traditional occupation of those who are lower than Shudras are their means of livelihood. Just in other words, what it is in your particular social class, what you do to maintain yourself, then you continue doing that. Right? Because that's what you have the mentality for, so that's you do that, it'll work very nicely. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, lower than Shudras means we're outside Varnashram, right? You know, so if their traditional occupation is going out and getting a job, then they do that. Does that make sense? Because that's not coming because they're Brahmin, Kshatriyas, or Vaishyas, you know, or Shudras. They're coming because they don't have as such a position.
So taking what you get.
Taking what you get, but it's within that thing, let's say, how you say? Yeah, it's just whatever you do. You know, then you just function within that, you know, in other words, like that. If you have the nature that's beyond that, then you come back into the system. Point is this guna and karma. So you have the nature to perform these other four. You do that. If you don't, then you do whatever is, you know, is traditionally happened within your, you know, family or community lines. What you do to maintain yourself. Like that. You know, like if your parents got in their boat and went out and, you know, raided the next village and burnt it down and brought everything back, you know, then that's what you do.
Viking theme.
Yeah, like that. Does that make sense? Yes.
We call this outcast.
Outcast, yeah. It just means they're outside the social system. But nowadays, you know, when you have a social system that's made up of outcasts, then you don't really have a concept of outcasts.
You know. How does a Kshatriya function in a society of outcasts? They just be punishing all day.
No. But within the outcasts, then there is what's acceptable as you know, acceptable and not. Just like, let's say you have a group of thieves. Okay? Now, can they steal from someone else outside the group?
Yes.
Can they steal from someone within the group?
No.
So therefore, if you were a thief and you were the one who was seeing to the organization of it, you would only punish a thief who stole from another thief. But if he stole from someone else outside that, then he would be performing his natural occupational duty.
It's ethically proper.
Within his outcast situation. Or you have a gang, right? You know, so they have their laws and rules. You follow it, it goes nice. You don't follow it, you have problems. You know, they got, how do you say, crocodiles in the elevator. You know, so therefore, you know, they work it out. Yes.
Maharaj, in regards to the sutras, what would be the most direct way to serve Brahmins?
Whatever Brahmins are doing. You know what I'm saying? It means it's just like they're doing the deity worship. So what can you do in connection with the deity worship? Like saying someone's doing that. You can help make clothes. You can, you know, wash paraphernalia. You can fix paraphernalia. You know, you can help in the kitchen. You can clean. You can do so many things. There's tons of work that's there. Then if someone, let's say, is an Ayurvedic doctor, you help with that. Cleaning, doing massages, administering medicine, bathing the patients, doing, you know what I'm saying? Whatever they're doing, you assist in that.
Sorry to go on about this, but in the sixth canto, Prabhupada explains that.
Sixth canto,
Prabhupada explains.
A little louder, please.
Prabhupada explains that Bhagavad Dharma is Varnashram, means Varnashram Dharma. Like this, and he says,
Bhagavad Dharma, Varnashram Dharma, Sanatan Dharma, for us they're the same thing. Due to misunderstanding, we try to make it into different things. But it's not. The point is you're engaging your nature in Krishna's service. That's Dharma. Right? Right? And Dharma means that which you can't, in inherent nature, you can't change. Right? So, now, when you're, so the point is, so Varnashram means taking that inherent nature and connecting it to the Lord, right? So now on the spiritual platform, the living entity is the servant of God. So rendering service is his inherent nature, right? Now according to his situation within the material world, then that would mean whatever is his particular condition nature, that's the nature he has. You can't change that. I mean, let's say someone's a kshatriya by nature. You can't change it. Devotees just say you have to change your nature. It's uninformed. You can't change nature. You can purify, but you can't change. The problem is that it's in an impure state, not that it's there in the first place. You know what I'm saying? You can't change the nature. So they take that conditioned nature, and so that's nature, that's dharma, and that they're the soul, servant of God, that's dharma. Combining those two, then you get Daiva Varnashram. Right? And Sanatana Dharma means eternal Dharma, which means serving Krishna. It doesn't mean that you're eternally going to be, you know, a Kshatriya, Vaishya, whatever you are. That's the conditioning. But in the spiritual world, they have their nature. In other words, how they want to serve Krishna. So therefore, they have a form and a situation they're in. And they engage that form and situation in Krishna's service. So that's Sanatana Dharma. Right? So the difference is they're starting from their natural spontaneous love for Krishna. We're starting from whatever situation we're in the material world and then connecting that to Krishna. So it's being done in the opposite way. You know, it's just like, you know, how you say, karma yoga and pure devotion. One you're starting with yourself, the other you're starting with Krishna. But the process remains the same. Calcutta. Happy Calcutta.
He says that one should develop the qualities of a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, according to, you know, the nature. He says one should develop the qualities.
Okay, should. Trying to think of one should develop. Should develop. Now, the Kshatriyas could do that.
Should develop. Should.
Yes.
Maybe I should speak with the Queen's English.
Yes, now that would work. I can relate to that because we had neighbors there from England and they spoke with like that. So I would relate to that.
He said, you know, develop these qualities, and then Bhagavad Gita, kshatriya nature, power, determination, courage in battle, generosity, heroism, like this. So if one actually develops those qualities, that means there's going to be, like you said, about the army in the next door country. That means there's going to be some kind of like potency there, you know?
Yeah, no, it's potency because it says resourcefulness. Resourcefulness means potency.
Yeah.
Because resourceful means whatever you have, you figure out how to take that and turn it into something dynamic.
And then it says about punishing miscreants, and then I'm just like trying to figure out, because these...
Miscreants means someone who's not following their position. See, in the Vedic kingdom, your Brahmin, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, those following the Varnashram lived in the cities, or in the villages, like that. Those who were outside of this lived in the jungles, right?
Yeah.
You know, I'm, or they have their own villages, but the point is they're not mixed in with others. right? It doesn't mean that they don't have occupations that they couldn't, that wouldn't be beneficial all around, but the main principle of deciding that is, do they tend towards stealing or not? If they tend towards stealing, they don't come in the villages or cities at all. They have to practice their occupations in their own place. If they cannot steal, then they can come in. You understand? Because now one may say that's unfair. It's not. Now let's say you're out in, let's say you're walking out in a forest area, right? And so then you see a fruit on a tree and you're hungry and you go over and pick it off the tree. Will anybody complain? No, but I said you're out in the forest. It means you're out in, it doesn't belong to anybody, right? You know, does that make sense? Now if you're walking down the street and there's a tree in somebody's front yard and it has fruit and you go and pick off it, it may or may not be okay. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it depends upon what he's got in his shotgun and how fast you run. You know, like that. You know? If it's salt, not so bad. If it's buckshot, you're in trouble, right? You know, so the point is that the what does the thief mean? He wants it, he takes it. That's what makes sense. So if he's out in the jungle, what does it matter what he wants and what he takes? You know what I'm saying? So it's not a problem. So that's why then if one lives in that situation, it's not that it's a problem. It's actually in line with them. The city is a problem for them because they want to take so many things and it's not allowed.
So making my question more specific.
Does that make sense? So therefore, they're living out there, and they're, as long as they're not bothering anybody else, and as long as they're not breaking their own codes of conduct, then the king doesn't punish them. Does that make sense? But if he comes into the city and makes trouble there, then he'll be punished. But if he's out in the jungle and doing whatever he does, and it doesn't bother his own people, then what's the meaning of punishing? You know, it's just like, what is it? There's a, you know, people have their own little, you know, there was this place up in, I forget where it was, I think Himachal or someplace, way up into the mountains, up into the Himalayas. A village there, and one of the, you could say, customs is that if, because generally speaking, is when you're making a marriage arrangement, it's the girl who looks and chooses what boy she wants to be with. Then if it's compatible and agreement, then it's there. So in this village, because it's small and all that, you know, I mean, it's not that big. So if a girl decides she likes a particular boy, then she goes to his house and she takes something. I forget what she takes, but it's something. And then they knock on the door. The boy answers the door. She hands that to him. And handing it to him, she immediately starts to run. Right? Now, if he can catch her before she gets back to her house, then they'll get married. But if she gets back to her house before he can catch her, then there isn't a marriage.
That means he's stronger, huh?
Huh?
That means he's stronger.
Yeah, it means he's stronger, but it, you know, because the thing is also means he's quick, because she hands it to him and then she runs off and that, and it takes him a while to figure out what's going on. So he has to be fast and figure out what goes on. Yeah, he's stronger, things like that.
And, he also has to figure out, is it worth it?
That's another thing. Yeah, that would be the thing. If he doesn't run at all, then, you know, that's another thing. You know, hands it to him, he walks back into the house and closes the door. Then, you know, so I'm sure that they're quite confident about this. They're not going to make a fool of themselves.
The clever bachelor, though, he has some of those traps, you know, that he can swing.
That, but at the same time, is that you do have the rest of your life that you don't want them to be mentioning that.
Yeah, do you remember how we met?
Yeah,
I cut you down.
Does that make sense? So they have it. So within their community, that's fine. But if another community started that, then that would be a bit weird. How it came up, where it is, but everybody just thinks like that and does like that. For someone else, it'd be artificial. So what we're saying is that each locale has their uniqueness, you know, when it comes to little things that are not harmful. They're not against the Vedic principle. You know, they're just somehow under the local customs are like that. Why? Who knows?
I got an email last night saying that 635 out of 635 members of the House of Commons, There was, 15 people who had been committed for shoplifting, 18 for drug offenses, 7 can't get a credit card because of credit card fraud, so on and so on, like down this list, of many things like that. And they're making the policies for the people,
So that's why they say, that's why it's called House of Commons.
So
these are the best of them. So you can imagine the guys out on the street.
So I send to my dad, it's like, but they're just people drawn from the pool, like this, So then the police are also like,
It's all like that. That's why you have to have kshatriyas, because the point is when you make the thing is that no, because they'll make it more that the House of Commons will have more power than the House of Lords.
Yeah.
But the point is at least previously, then the Lords are supposed to have some kind of dignity and nobility, so then they would see a bigger picture, while the Commons wouldn't.
Yeah.
So that was why it should be prominent. But then it's supposed to be that, above that is the King.
Yeah.
So when you remove all these things and just make it the Parliament, then it's just people are voted in by common people, they vote in common people.
Yeah.
And so each time before the next election or stuff like that, then there's always, the tabloids have so many scandals of this came out, that came out, and everybody's so shocked. But why would you be shocked? You took common people and put them in the position of authority. So therefore, why are you shocked?
The International Society for Christian Consciousness ever have a police force or military?
Right. You shall we sign you up? Or
I want to know, like, what the future. I see these 40 boys in here, and it's like some of them like 3 years, and they're like, Superman for their age, So I'm just seeing how is it going to progress. And now it's like there's some poles. And swords, and then it's like we have firearms, over here. So I'm just wondering how Christmas.
Although the thing what we're working on is we're not quite sure if we want to go with that same outfit that Michelangelo created, or if we want to go for some other kind of thing.
I have an answer.
Yes, she has an answer.
When I was in Vrindavan, one Srila Prabhupada's Navati disciple told me that the aliens in their ships, they have pictures of Prabhupada. And they're taking children of Prabhupada, and she said in the year 2040 there will be a lot of love of Srila Prabhupada around, and the aliens are actually coming through and helping Srila Prabhupada's movement. There was one devotee who was there, and he was always dancing, and he looked a little strange, and she said, I think he's already won.
Okay, well that's good to know. Like that. Is this specifically coming from Pleiades, or
this is new news. This is new news.
Current. Okay, good.
What is the connection?
What's the connection?
Well, the connection is that they're coming to the force of aliens to help
the
Krishna consciousness.
Yeah. Well, he's kind of wondering whether we're going to have a police force or not. So maybe they'll arrange it. I'm not sure.
That'll be the police force, right?
You still didn't get your answer.
I'm not so satisfied.
Okay, you're not very satisfied with that answer. Okay. So the point is
very close.
Aliens,
The thing is that for us, it's not so much that it's necessary. Just like in a village level, you don't necessarily have police. You know what I'm saying? You have a village leader, then you have the village council. And then they make a decision because it's all, known people, families, and things like that. But the point is there is disciplinary action taken, right? When you get on the level of cities, towns, then you have to have something. You know what I'm saying? Villages don't have, a town has a sheriff, or town has something like that. So once you get up to that level, then it becomes important. So then naturally you would.
But didn't Prabhupada say that it's time for to be a Krishna conscious state in America?
The point is the state means a state is a group of individuals who have a common, ethos, and then you create a governance that will see to the prosperity of that particular group by creating facilities by seeing that they cooperate and to see that nobody else outside bothers them. You understand? So the point is it's not something separate. It's a matter of the what state's already there. You make Krishna conscious. Why do you have to create something that's already there? The point is you already have governance. You already have economics. But the problem is you already have intellectuals. It's just so there's a lack of Krishna, God consciousness. So if people become God conscious, the skills are already there, and then they improve the quality of the human life by seeing whatever they do in relationship to God and his laws. So then it works nicely, right? You know what I'm saying? So you don't have to create one. It's a matter of those who are already there are God conscious. Because the point is for us, for the individual, it doesn't matter what is the particular state. You know what I'm saying? What's the governance? What matters is whether you can practice God consciousness. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point. You know what I'm saying? So if the leaders of the state become God conscious, then it creates that facility for everybody. You know, or at least if not, if they allow others to individually practice on their own, then that works. It's not as dynamic. You know, it's just like, you know, like, what is it? They say Charlemagne? How do you say it? Yeah. So then, you know, because he, as the governance, decided everyone was going to be Christians, then Christianity became established quite quickly. You know, like that. So you see, like Ashok, when he became Buddhist, then that spread very quickly. Because they have influence on all areas of the society, so they can see that the people are properly understanding who they are, you know, their position, their as the soul, you know, their conditioning, and then every individual can work therefore to their best to their best ability to get their best results. That's what it's for. That's why it says protection. The Kshatriya's occupation of protecting the praja. And praja means, if it's alive, it's praja. Not just, you know, it means the humans, the animals, the plants. You know, like that. It means everything. So they have to see it all. Like now it's like government will see to certain things, and then people are complaining, well, they're not worried about the environment. But the environment's also praja. So they're supposed to see that. The animals, you know, there's animal, right? Well, the government's supposed to be seeing to the animals. So the humans, the animals, and the plants. So it's they're supposed to see to everything, right? You're performing sacrifice, so that then, you know, helps with the whole universe. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of one God conscious and that's the natural area, then one can influence those who are within it. Does that make sense?
It's just interesting listening and envisioning Lord Chaitanya's missions going in every town and village, accommodating each person's culture in that town and village. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Because certain things will be dropped that are useless, yeah. But certain little things, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's the point that Manu says is that if the custom is not against the Vedic principle, then it should be authorized, like that. It may be different, but it should be authorized, like that. So that's not the. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's just because I was talking to Marsh the other day about how is an institution going to institutionalize 6 billion people,
Because the thing is, we have principles. It means what we're discussing here. These are the things. He doesn't get into much detail.
Yeah.
The detail is given in the other shastras, like that. And then there, you have to know what the principle is, because you have to be able to connect this with that.
Yeah.
And so that means you have to understand what's the principle this is talking about, and what the principle that's talking about, because those can be connected. Because detail will be different. So that's the idea. So that's why Prabhupada said we first have to create a class of Brahmins. Because if those are there, then means everything else is already there. You know, you already have administrators, you already have business people, you already have, you know, the shudras. Everybody's already there. The problem is there's no class of qualified Brahmins, right? Which means, you know, God conscious. So if that's there, then everything else will follow. The individual inherent nature.
Could it be a mixture of different varnas?
It can, if the parents are mixed or their consciousness is mixed. That's why Arjuna is worried about Varna Shankar. Varna, you know, means occupation, and Shankar means mixed. Right? You know, you also get like Ashram Shankar. You know, it means it's mixed ashram, like that. So Varna Shankara means is that it's not clear what the Varna is, because it has so many aspects. So basically you have to take what's prominent, and if you're dealing with more than one, if they can be combined as one occupation, great. But if not, then you have to each one deal with on their own specific standards. You know what I'm saying? If one's doing some brahminical duty, one has to deal with it as a Brahmin. Then he's doing a Kshatriya duty or a Vaishya duty. He has to do that in that category. You can't mix the two. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Usually if you have a mixed varna, you will not be satisfied with doing just one aspect.
If you have a mixed varna, that's what I said, unless you can find something that combines the two. You know, like let's say one kid I knew of that he liked to travel on the festival of India, you know, in America with all the other kids. And so, but to do that, then he would, you know, buy a whole, like, suitcase full of saris and stuff and other stuff. And at the festivals, then he would sell it. So he wanted to preach, and he would sell these things. This is his mother was a head pujari, and his father was a businessman. Right? So you saw it in the case. So he found something that combined them both. Does that make sense? So, like that, then.
What is the meaning of
Kalau Shudra Sambhava? See, the is that a separate question or a continuation of the previous? No, but I'm saying, which is it? From your perspective, was it separate? Okay. So, means that everyone's born Shudra. Now it's what you do with it is then, where you end up. You know what I'm saying? So we look at it, oh, all born Shudra, so that's pretty low. For it means if your parents are Malechas and Yavanas, being born a Shudra is actually pretty good. Then you fall from that position of Shudra down to outcast as you grow up. Does that make sense? We always have to remember is that from the position of tribal, Shudras are up. Like that. We always like to look at it that Shudras are down. But tribals can't do that. Shudras are up from tribal.
Does it mean in previous ages that one is born differently?
One would be born with those natural characteristics. But the point is it's the birth isn't what you consider. It's what you're born with the characteristics. So it's not what family you're born in. It's what you're born with. You understand? He's born in a Brahmin family, but he might be born with Kshatriya nature. So therefore, he'll be a Kshatriya. You understand? So it's the guna and karma. What nature you have and what you do with it. That's how it's defined. So one is born Shudra. Now it's what all these other elements that are there, what you do with them, then will define whether you move up or down. Does that make sense? Right? Because Shudra, what does Shudra mean? It's the mode of ignorance is prominent. So basically speaking, you're saying everyone's born in ignorance. So now, if they improve their life, then the higher inherent qualities that are there will be able to come out. Right? If not, then it will remain a Shudra lower. Okay, let us take an example. Because we're saying you can't change nature, but at the same time as we're saying you're born Shudra, so how do you end up with these other things? Okay, what is a, what Varna is a policeman? Kshatriya? Anything else?
Shudra.
Shudra, right? Because they are the, you know, they are the
helpers.
The helpers in the way of discipline for the state. You might have that your head police officers, they might be Kshatriya. Or let's say you're private in the army, right? What is, what Varna is?
Shudra.
He's Shudra. Right? And the higher officers are definitely, you're only going to get there because they have a Kshatriya nature. Shudras aren't going to get there. Does that make sense? So, like that. Let us say you have a big business, like we walk into Marks and Spencer's, okay? Big place, right? The one on Oxford Street, right? So, there's thousands of workers in there. So, when you walk into that shop and you see all those people there, who are you looking at? What Varna? Every last one of them, Shudras. The Vaishyas you'll never see. They're up in some office somewhere. Like that. You know, you can see their car out the front, but you won't see them. You know? Like that. You know, in the back behind Harrods, you know where all those 12-cylinder Mercedes are there? That's theirs. Like that. Okay? So the point is so but they're expert at selling things. Right? So you say, you know, business is the Vaishya, but they're selling things. But just because you sell doesn't make you a Vaishya. You understand?
Like the prostitute. She's a skilled.
I like the fourth time. We have 5 minutes left.
Just a few minutes before he always.
Every time.
It must be testosterone or something.
Anyway, she knows if she's trained for martial arts, she has to do 50 push-ups.
She's a skilled labor, but she's a bit. She's a, just because she's engaged in business doesn't make her a vice. That's my point.
I'm not sure I can't guess the connection.
You said about the
no, but who's she assisting?
These Shudras, no, but these Shudras.
No, but just because she's a prostitute, that doesn't make her a Shudra.
Skilled trade.
It was a skilled trade. I said so.
No, because you have Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudras, then you have women.
It can be in those parts.
Like, what is it? Like, even somebody like Shri or Chandal.
He's like this. Very unique questions. You know. Because we're still trying to finish that last point, so we'll have to.
You said last time business-minded Shudra.
No, not businessman. There's a Shudra. What I'm saying is that you have one Vaishya, right? He has a factory. Let's say he makes towels. 10,000 laborers work in his factory. Those are 10,000 Shudras. So there's one Vaishya. So my point is that the person sells things. He can go out there and, you know, do things. Let's say he's an administrator. He's an accountant for the government. He's a Shudra. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Like that. You know, let's say in a hospital, right? You have Brahmins. The doctor's a Brahmin. What's the anesthesiast? He's a Shudra. The nurse, Shudra, right? The guy that runs the X-ray machine. The technicians, the Shudras. So there's a Shudras for Brahmins. Does that make sense? So my point is everyone's born Shudra, but it doesn't mean that there are those who are born Shudra, and they are Shudra, but it's not that they're born Shudra, but they don't have these underlying inherent natures. They take advantage of it. They could be the Kshatriya. If not, they will just simply be a Shudra for a Kshatriya. And this is on a good day. Otherwise, they'll drop down to the Mlecha Yavana category like everybody else. And then do that, but it's not scientific. Right? Does that make some sense? Like that. Yeah. So, yeah, we've got 4 minutes for them. Is it related to his question on the prostitutes?
Not really with prostitutes, but to the whole thing. I just wanted to summarize kind of what I understood. It means you have your inherent nature. If you don't live up to it, you remain Shudra. But you cannot,
you don't, it means, in other words, if it's purified, in other words, the position of Shudra is, one, is a purified condition. The kids aren't so impure. They're not manifesting. But as they manifest, if they start to live the Mlecha Yavana lifestyle, then they're going to drop from that position. But their nature of what they're going to do doesn't change. You know what I'm saying?
So you can degrade, you can...
Yeah, you can purify it, or it can be less... But like, say you take someone like Henry VIII. Okay? Now, what varna is he? Kshatriya. But does he follow the principles given in the Dharma Shastra for a Kshatriya? So can you call him a Kshatriya? No. But within the tribal society, he is a Kshatriya. Does that make sense? So now if he was acting in a purified state, then he would be Kshatriya on the human platform. But otherwise he's a Kshatriya in the... Yeah. Right? You know, you don't start a religion just because you want to marry another woman. You know, you don't do that. You know what I'm saying? So Kshatriyas don't do that. Does that make sense? So the point is the inherent nature of the woman, she has a nature that she matches with. She has Brahma Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra nature. The point is if she's able to manifest that nature by being married to someone in that category, right? In other words, she's a Brahminical nature, she marries a Brahmin, so therefore then she's able to function as a Brahmani, right? But now if she marries a Kshatriya, she has to act as a Kshatriya. Right? Even though she is a Brahminical nature, she marries a Vaishya, she has to act as in the Vaishya capacity. So that's why it's said, don't mix varnas in marriage. You know what I'm saying? So socially, so they'll say, no, but a woman has no varna. She, you know, follows the varna of her husband. Yes, that's socially, but it doesn't mean she doesn't inherently already have one. Otherwise, why would Manu go to all the trouble to say that you have to according to your, you have to, marriage has to be to equals. That means a Brahmin boy marries a Brahmin girl by nature. So that means nature is there. Now, prostitute means they can't function within the environment where they're being protected in that normal social environment. But it doesn't mean that their varna would change. Their nature would change. But now it just has to be dealt with in this way. Does that make sense? Because the women are in their own category. You have to consider the femininity and the varna. Does that make sense? So you have to be able to combine the two. Doesn't make sense. See, the difficulty comes is also because your concept of prostitute is of one kind. What the Vedic would consider the third grade. The third grade prostitute. You consider that as the standard of prostitute. The Vedic is the first grade is the standard.
Oh, I know what you're saying, like that, because they got the.
It's not. It's based on emotions. Emotions. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Is this past life like just emotional?
Yeah, like that. In other words, these high end escorts, they work on that platform. So. How are they going to function in that unless they have that nature to do that? You understand? So that's why they're in their own category. Now happy. Now happy.
Yeah,
happy. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Sambhaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premananda.